Whoa!
Man, that is one big bitch cockroach.
Harry, there's enough C4 on this thing to put a hole in the world. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hey everybody, welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack episode 37, the show that talks about obscure movies we find on Netflix, streaming, and other sources. My name is Scott Johnson, and welcome yet again to another episode. I want to introduce who's with us this week. It might not surprise anyone. Three guys you know so well. Let's start with Brian Lubed Up Crankshaft Dunaway.
Pharaoh Gobbles Donkey Goobers. what do I know? I got a growth in my pecker.
Yes, you do. But that was long before you saw this movie, right?
Yeah.
You've been draining that every night?
No, that's disgusting. Well, that's just a lie from the movie, man. It's not real life.
Neither is this movie. What? I guess that's what you're saying. Also with us,
Wrecker.
I can't talk. Randy Peckergrowth Jordan.
Dude, what are you doing? You got your muddled dark comedy about an elderly king of rock and roll in my cheap short film about a haunted rest home. That tastes weird.
Yeah, it does. Don't recommend it. And then finally, bringing up the rear, we have Brian Kemosabe Ibbett.
You know, I was afraid I was not going to make it today. I've been crapping soul residue all day long. Anyone care for a chocolate ding dong?
Oh, man.
I don't mean mine. Well, since it's been dyed.
Yeah. Since it's been dyed.
I actually, watching this movie with Chad, who had already seen it, I've never seen this movie before, but watching it with someone who'd seen it before, the first time that the mouth on the anus was mentioned, I turned to him and said, I will bet you that joke is made until I'm sick of it. And he says, oh, you may not want to continue watching this movie. Sure enough, every 4 minutes on the dot.
Well, for those of you out there listening who don't know what we're talking about yet, woe is you. And let's let Scott Fletcher help you out.
Bubba Hotep. In this black comedy, Elvis Presley, played by Bruce Campbell, is an elderly resident in an East Texas rest home who switched identities with an impersonator years before his quote-unquote death and missed his chance to switch himself back when the king teams up with a fellow resident played by Ozzie Davis, who thinks he's John F. Kennedy. The two old codgers prepare to battle an evil Egyptian entity that's chosen their long-term care facility as its happy hunting grounds.
Yes. You had me at Elvis Presley.
Absolutely.
You didn't have to go any further. Yeah, and Bruce Campbell.
And Bruce Campbell. Yeah.
So this is also my first viewing of this movie. I'd gone into this knowing that it was one I always wanted to see. When it came out in 2002, I remember thinking, oh, well, that's for me. I should be seeing this. And I never saw it. Never got on DVD. Never watched it on video. So this was a grand opportunity to see if this lived up to all the sort of campy hype it was getting back in 2002. I'll reserve my opinion for a minute, so because I know there's some concern that a lot of the team alignments may change on this episode. Is that a fair thing to say?
It could.
I think so, yeah.
There is some question as to one's allegiance.
I kind of feel like there's been a drift over the last few weeks for us. Mm. Just not nothing bad. I mean, that's the nice thing about having four differing opinions is that, you know, we can change, we can grow.
Yeah, that's true. And last week we did the speed thing. But before that, our last movie that we did the proper treatment on FilmSack for was Revenge of the Nerds. And as I recall, Brian Lubed Up Crankshaft Dunaway and I sort of sided with each other against Randy Peckergrowth Jordan and Brian Kemosabe Ibbett. And that was unusual because normally it's an Ibbett Johnson kind of thing. That's usually
you could
where
read
we
a
land.
Lot on movies. I don't think so tonight, my friend.
Crap. All right, so let's just get some of the business out of the way. This movie is directed by Don Coscarelli. Don Coscarelli? Did I have that right? Anyway.
Yes.
It's close.
He done the Phantasm. Yes.
Phantasm movies, for those who don't
know. You ever watch the Phantasm movies? Great movies.
Go ahead, Randy. Wow. Yes.
Coscarelli was working on a short story that was apparently like a cult classic, you know, something that a lot of people thought would be made into a movie. So he's kind of got really fertile ground to start with. And as far as directors go, I thought he did a really good job of direction. The film was nicely directed.
Yeah, it felt good. Cheap though. The whole thing was like less than $500,000. $500,000. Is that right? Yeah.
They didn't pay Bruce Campbell anything, apparently.
Well, Bruce did it kind of, you know, Bruce does that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it was like a favor.
He reminds me, he's kind of the, he's like the late Harvey Pekar in a way. People sort of worship that guy as such a pioneer in underground comics. And right up to his death, he kind of just barely made ends meet.
Why do they call this? I hate to go back. I meant to ask this earlier. What's the difference between a dark comedy and a black comedy? Because
nothing.
That's what I was thinking, because it just
those are synonymous.
It sounds inappropriate when he says black comedy. I automatically think, oh, it's one of those comedies from the 70s with
oh,
with
you think it's like
it.
it's Ice Cube
Friday
it's After Next. Tyler Perry as an old woman.
Say Tyler Perry, yeah.
Yeah, that's a fair thing. You racist, Brian. You're such a damn racist.
I don't mean to be racist. It's just such a weird. It's just such a weird term to be used, and I don't know why. Black comedy. It's usually just dark comedy. So
yeah, because it's what you're talking about is an actual genre. To say black comedy is actually something. It's not just
exactly.
Oh, it's dark and weird. It's actually a form of comedy. It's it's Friday After Next with Ice Cube and his buddies.
Yeah.
So I totally understand. But where were we? Oh yeah, this movie, Bubby Hotep. Bruce Campbell plays Elvis Presley and Sebastian Half, my favorite character in the movie, was the Sebastian Half of this whole thing. It's never really made clear whether or not he was really the king of rock and roll, but anyway.
Oh, he was the king. He was the king.
Well,
that's pretty clear.
As far as I'm concerned, he is, but good Lord.
Wow.
It's the worst snuggie I ever had. I don't know who that was, but that was weird. Ozzie Davis, weird thing for this guy who's been in a trillion movies, highly respected both on stage and film. Love Ozzie Davis. Played JFK.
Yes.
with a sack of sand in his brain. I love that.
That is awesome.
It is totally awesome. Totally agree with that. Ella Joyce plays this nurse who's fairly prominent. I recognized her immediately from, do you remember the show Rock, R-O-C?
Yes.
Fox way back early.
I thought that was ABC.
I thought it was Fox, that? Early 90s.
It might have been Fox. You might be right.
I'm not sure, but a pretty funny comedy. It had Charles S. Dutton in it. Anyway, she's from that. Immediately I went, oh, yeah, that rock show that I kind of watched. Bubba Hotep played by a stuntman named Bob Ivy, and everyone else is sort of just there. Made this thing on the cheap. They filmed pretty much the entire thing in an abandoned hospital wing.
I believe it, too. It looked like it.
Even the explosion of the awesome explosion of all that trailer park stuff, they did that just outside of all that.
I had debated so hard between that, the intro I did do, and saying that I lost something in a barbecue accident. Because
right.
I just love the idea of blowing up your trailer with a barbecue.
Yeah, your entire trailer, which just goes up like it's filled with dynamite.
Yeah.
So we follow these old guys in this rest home who pretty much figure out that an ancient Egyptian pharaoh has come back from the dead and is absorbing the souls of people that are there with them at the
but
place.
How does he do that, Scott?
Well, in various ways. The most prominent way is he'll send in a bug first.
Yeah,
and let
a scarab.
Let the bug freak the lady out in her blanket.
Yeah.
He'll come in later and literally suck the life out of him.
But how?
With his lips. With his nasty mouth.
You can suck the soul out of any major orifice of the body.
Yeah.
What else let you use? What else let you figure out?
I learned that from JFK, actually.
Yes, I did too.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Roger Ebert, a respected, sometimes writer and reviewer of films, said about this movie, gave it 3 out of 4 stars and highlighted the film's, quote, delightful wackiness and stated, it is the damnedest ingratiating way of making us sit there and grin at its harebrained audacity, laugh at its outhouse humor, and be somewhat moved, not deeply but somewhat, at the poignancy of these two old men in their situation. He summed it up for me, dude, so I'm going to lay it on the table right now. I really like this movie a lot. I love that it, on the one hand, didn't take itself seriously at all, did a lot of sort of campy knowingness, like, you know, knew they were making kind of a campy movie, that it's production-wise made really well, like it's filmed well, mm-hmm. cinematography's good, but then occasionally have like a rubber bug that looks just dumb and ridiculous, but somehow it all works for me. But to me, the strength of the story ended up being, dude, if this was really, like, this is the greatest Elvis movie ever told.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of a better Elvis movie than this, because this had, like, heart to it and regret and looking back on his life. And I have clips that reflect some of this today, so we'll be playing those. But I've never seen Elvis played in that kind of very sympathetic, empathetic way. And I love that. And I love that he's in the situation, that this is his last chance after sort of a botched attempt to put away his famous life and have a normal life. And that doesn't really work out. Now he's got a growth on his pecker, as we've all heard before. He's got all these horrible things going on. He's trying to find a solution to his life, an end that makes sense. And he does. And yeah. I know it's ridiculous, but it's really affecting. Like, I really liked that. And his relationship with JFK and all that kind of stuff was really strong for me.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I think one of the things, reasons why me and Scott have agreed on this and Nerds is we're okay with potty humor. I'm okay with that. I'm actually excited about potty humor. It just cracks me up.
You're excited about it. You hear that?
I was
it's very coming.
Excited about it. I'm like, yes. But I really did. I found myself. I've seen this before. I saw it back. I rented it from Blockbuster, which I haven't rented a movie in forever. I went out and rented this thing as soon as it got in, way back when. I guess it was about, I don't think I got it quite in 2002, but it was probably pretty close to it.
Yeah.
And I remember I just loved it then, and I think I love it now too. It's basically what would happen, if you ever heard the story of the Prince and the Pauper, which is used a lot in different stories, you know, where, you know, somebody rich and famous switches places with someone who is poor and trying to get a taste of each other's lives. And this is kind of like what would happen if they never switched back for Elvis. So, yeah, I think the story premise is really there. But and you would think to me, you would I'm sure Rainey's going to say, well, you know, why do they even have the whole mummy thing? Because that was stupid. But
I love when you are already putting words in his mouth, because
I can already feel it. I can feel it all the way from Hawaii.
All right, let's throw it to Randy first, and then to Ebbett about how you guys felt about it, because I have a feeling you're probably a little bit more opposed. Although there's obviously Randy's already said there's some things he likes about it. But before I do that, I just want to say just briefly, we all chalk up Bruce Campbell as a crap actor. That all this stuff he does is just sort of campy and weird, and he's just kind of a goof, and we love him for it, right? I don't think that's true in this movie. I think he's really good in it. Like, he actually acts the part. It isn't just an impersonation. There's some heart and tone to it that is unusual for him, because normally I would agree. He's just camp, camp, camp all the way. This was like camp with some depth, and it really impressed me. So, Randy, I throw you the ball, sir. How did you feel about this movie?
Okay, well, I mean, Bubba Hotep is a very low-rate film to start with. So anything you say good about it is really good, right? I mean, it's not intended to win awards. It's not intended to win hearts. It's intended to be as entertaining as you can be on a dime.
All right.
And, you know, and so where it really succeeds is it doesn't indulge in a lot of common movie cliches. In fact, it indulges in practically the fewest movie cliches I've ever seen in a film. You know, like the big one is the stunt casting of Bruce Campbell. And it works. It really works. Mm-hmm. Bruce Campbell is perfect in this role. And, you know, to kind of paraphrase myself through the mouth of Brian Dunaway, I do wish that this was a pure dark comedy about Bruce Campbell's character. And, you know, and his backstory And it didn't have to have the invented conflict mm-hmm. that it had to have. But you don't, unless you're making a movie like The Wrestler, which this could have, if you think about it, this is kind of a long and sad preemption of the, prediction of the movie The Wrestler. But unless you're making a movie like that, which is serious, serious, we're going to get, you know, we're going to really act, we're going to really script, this is not that. You have to have some conflict. So why not invent conflict that's from out of left field, makes no sense whatsoever. And then when you come to it, you realize they don't have the budget to make the conflict really entertaining.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
Yeah.
But the backstory and the character story, even stretching over and picking up the JFK is now a black guy played by Ossie Davis, who is one of the greatest character actors of all time. That is all fantastic. I loved it. I love that he goes to Nacogdoches, Texas, of all places.
Yeah.
You can't get a more. There's no. People who aren't from the South and from Texas don't understand that Texas is very neatly divided into two regions. There's Texas and there's East Texas, and East Texas falls all along the eastern 200 miles of the state, and it's different. It's more like Louisiana in a way. There's a lot more poverty, and there's a lot more of this conservative roots culture. And Nacogdoches is the quintessential East Texas town.
Yeah,
and I just thought it was great. I was surprised they didn't make it clear that he was still there. That yeah. basically, from the time he made the deal, he was there for the rest of his life. Because that's really entertaining to me. Maybe yeah. not to everybody else.
Well, plus you get a sense. The minute I heard Nacogdoches, Texas, I went, oh yeah, well this couldn't be more of a backward, like goofball hayseed, and not just kind of stuff. I don't mean that. Like there's a very specific flavor of that, and that name alone was enough for me. You're familiar with the actual place, and that's even better. But in my mind, I heard that and went, oh yeah, dude, perfect place. It's the place for the king to go in his jumpsuit and switch places. It's perfect.
So it's Bruce Campbell's greatest performance.
Agreed.
Which I'm like Brian Dunaway said, I can't help as a movie lover but divide this into two films. And the dark comedy character study part of it is like, I'm already jumping to the end for myself, but it's like a 7 out of 10 among small dark comedies. Mm-hmm. But then the haunted rest home with the two morticians who keep coming and taking bodies out, whatever, that's like a 3 out of 10. So averaged together,
yeah.
it's a mediocre film for me.
Wow. So the two didn't mesh for you. Ibbitt, before we jump to you, I want to mm-hmm. say this in regard to some of what Randy said, and that is that the movie satiates a hunger I have that never seems to get full enough. And that's movies about alternate realities of real people, famous people, juxtaposed with crazy situations. So, for example, I would love a movie that was about Abraham Lincoln. Well, there's even a book about it now, Abraham Lincoln fighting vampires.
Yeah.
I mm-hmm. love that idea. Like this idea that George Washington could rise from the grave, become a cowboy and kill zombies or something. Like there's just something about that idea that has always impressed me. I like that. I wish there were more movies where there's a team of these people, you know, so it's like famous presidents all working together to fight crime or something. I love that kind of stuff.
They could even go to San Dimas and help a couple of guys deliver a presentation.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, I just want to get that out of the way. It's something that's always funny to me and always interesting, and I dig it, and I feel like this movie is almost like the perfect example of it. So Ibbitt, where did you land on this film?
Yeah, I'm so glad that Randy went before me, because he was able to articulate what I was trying to figure out I wanted to say to this about this movie, because on paper it had everything I like, and individually I really like Bruce Campbell. I loved his performance in this movie. I liked the premise. I felt like the two distinct parts of the movie, the two distinct movies that were jammed together like this, I thought each one probably would have made a better individual movie than the two put together. I don't like having to jump from that that self-drama, the comedy drama of Bruce as Elvis and lamenting his life and what got him into this predicament with, oh my God, he's having flashbacks of this Egyptian mummy that was, you know, dropped off a bridge, yada, yada.
Right.
Because I think each one deserved more screen time. And what's weird is putting the two together into one film felt to me like it was a lot of really slow plotting moments in the movie. A lot of you'd think that it would be maybe trying to jam too much into a film and everything would just be too action-packed. But for me, it was the opposite. There was just too many dry, long spells until the next entertaining part, whether it was an action piece or a Bruce Campbell Ellis piece. The flashback stuff with Sebastian Neff, I agree. I think some of Bruce Campbell's best stuff in the film was when he actually wasn't playing Elvis, but playing this Sebastian guy.
Yeah, I agree. I can see where you're coming from. Go ahead.
One little thing I just want to say about that is that this is a movie that's, it, rather than being ahead of its time, it's way past its time. If this exact film had been produced even 10 years earlier, I think we would have given it a lot more credit.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I'm prepared to give it a ton of credit. I just feel like it, did a lot of the things it wanted to. I felt like the ending was kind of crappy. Just sort of wrote and whatever. It did give him a chance to say thank you very much before he died. Spoiler.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I thought it was great.
I thought actually I liked the fact that they jammed the two together, because I feel like really it would have been way too depressing to have sat there and watched Elvis lament on his life and all the missed things he had. And he really summed it up when they were going to the bathroom, and, you know, he's like, he says something like, oh, this is going to be like a great adventure. So I think the fact that that was.
No, I agree. That, I agree. Cause in the end, he ended up solving his personal issues by killing an undead cursed Pharaoh King.
I just don't know how long I could have bought into the idea of Bruce Campbell as Elvis in a retirement home, lamenting over his life. I don't know how long I could have. They never let us sit long enough with it to really go, okay, you've wore this idea out.
Yeah,
I think it almost needed that silliness that they had in it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Ryan and I are on the same page.
I'll tell you what. Let's split the movie up. Let's do what one of the guys says, and let's have somebody edit it and just edit all the parts with the mummy.
Oh, totally. Someone could do that. That's a great idea. See how those hold up as individual pieces, and you would have to like not really let the twain meet anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. Be very, very cool. Here's some trivia. Despite the fact that Elvis Presley is the main character, not one single piece, and I'm sure Ibbot noticed this, not one piece of Elvis's actual music is heard.
Interesting. I didn't think about that. That's true.
He explained that it would have cost
a licensing nightmare.
Yeah, he says it would have cost nearly the entire budget of the film to get one song, just a single song.
That.
So it's pretty outrageous how that stuff works. When Elvis turns on, this is related. When Elvis turns on the TV and sees Elvis Presley movies, the movie marathon thing, none of those clips are from any actual Elvis movies.
Really?
Because again, you got to pay licensing fees to use all that stuff because someone owns it or whatever. So they use stock footage and never show the faces of the Elvis-like characters.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I just assumed it was.
I like the weird guitar thing that happened, that was always playing while he's walking around and doing stuff. I never once went, man, it'd sure be great if we had Jailhouse Rock or something.
Yeah, I didn't miss. I certainly noticed the absence of Elvis music, but I certainly didn't miss it. I don't think it would have added anything to the story, and I think maybe the movie's probably better because of the absence of it, because it kind of solidifies the loss of what Elvis had and now what he's got, you know, in this convalescence home.
Yep, for sure. Let's talk about some of the stuff we maybe liked the most. For me, it was the old ridiculously coughing man at the beginning. never heard anything like that in my life. That was freaking me out. The creepy iron lung lady was great, too.
Oh man!
Yes,
I love her. Her glasses stolen.
Her glasses stolen. Yeah,
the only thing she has going for her, mirror and her glasses.
Yep. And the klepto lady was great. Sebastian Half was awesome. Oh, eating an entire pie in a men's room is great.
Oh,
that's what he was doing in there. That was great. Best trailer explosion ever. I also like the trip down the hill to the river on the walker near the end. That was great. There are little
funny,
things like that.
It's funny to say this, but I feel like this is one of those rare films where the total is worth a lot less than the sum of its parts, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
Like the nurse played by Ella Joyce. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, she was good.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's great.
I love that character. I almost wanted this to be a serialized television show so I could see her some more, you know?
I kept thinking
see
that she...
See her rubbing ointment on...
Yeah,
I kept thinking she was going to end up joining forces with them and fighting the dude with them. Like I could see her with a stake and a hammer or something, and kind of creeping around next to him.
That would have went too far to camp.
Not me, dude. I'd be ready for it. I say bring that crap on. Like if you're going to let them, these two worlds bleed into each other, just go all just go all the way.
But then you would lose all the ability to have that tension of you know these old guys not even able to barely even walk. That's the whole premise. That's the reason why this pharaoh is there, because he's preying on the weak.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't like the weak. He does like Kemosabe, though. That guy was awesome.
Yeah, that guy was... I hated he had to die of a heart attack, though.
It was good, though, because his soul stayed intact, right?
That's true.
That was the deal there, so I thought that was pretty good. Little side note that I totally forgot. I'll come back to it. Crap. I had it in my head. Now I lost it. No side note.
All
right,
do you think that if it was anybody but Bruce Campbell and Ossie Davis in this movie, do you think it would have been even half as good?
Oh, I can imagine.
Well,
to jump around, given that Paul Giamatti has long suggested a pseudo sequel with himself as Colonel Tom Parker,
it's apparently
Paul Giamatti
happening.
Would be perfect in this movie. I love Paul Giamatti.
Oh yeah,
it's supposed to be happening. There, I was looking on IMDb. Supposedly, finally, things have been greenlit. Bruce Campbell bowed out. That's one big problem. He doesn't want to do it. So they're talking about Ron Perlman as Elvis.
Wow,
it's called
that's scary.
It's called Bubba Nosferatu, and it's supposed to be a vampire thing. And you're right.
Bruce,
Paul Giamatti
come
is
back, man. Yeah, this is the thing he should be doing.
Yeah, he should be doing that. Hey, that's his calling.
Saving up for another Alien Encounter sequel there.
Yeah, geez, man.
Well, he's doing well on that show on USA.
TV show, yeah.
People really like him there, and I do as well. I think he's great on there. So he probably starting to feel like he's a little old. Plus, this thing is the sequel is supposed to be actually a prequel. It's set before. Obviously. but also Elvis is supposed to be younger. And so my thinking is, okay, well, sure. I understand you don't want Bruce because Bruce actually is getting old now. But then I think, well, wait, you're going to put Ron Perlman in that.
Ron Perlman is such a weird pick.
That's weird.
And how have we not done a Ron Perlman movie yet?
Oh, we've got one. We got to have one soon. We have to.
I know. I'm just surprised. I mean, he seems like he'd be the king of film sack.
I kind
of
want Alien. I think Alien 4 is ripe for the picking. I think that'd be a good one to do.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So we'll totally be watching that soon. But anyway, I still don't remember what I was going to say. Damn it.
As a side note, Scott can't remember what he was going to say.
I totally had something good to say. So let's talk about... Oh, no, I know what it was. That's how that works, right? You forget until the minute you start turning away and then you remember. It's like your brain's playing with you a little bit. It's like, you wait until the end. I've told you anyway.
You're going to forget it again, too.
Ossie Davis. Ossie Davis, who is, like Randy said, highly respected, amazing work, a lifetime of work. This is one of his last roles, certainly in films. His very last role before he died was on The L Word, where he played an aging black lesbian, which I thought was a really weird turn for him. Just kidding. He was just a dude. But anyway.
Typecast.
Very last thing he did was an episode of The L Word where he died in the end of that episode, and then he died shortly after that for real. Which is kind of weird, but his performance just added this nuance to it and I'm trying to in my head think when in what world did he get approached and say, "Oh,
yeah, I'll do that.
This is a film for me." Bruce Campbell, hell yes, JFK, Black JFK, let's do that. You know, it seems like the weirdest thing to me. And I know people do a lot of stuff for their agents or whatever. You know, things just happen. I've seen Hudson Hawk, so I know what, you know, I know people are willing to do for money, but it just surprised me. Like, I don't know. It's like, I guess Morgan Freeman's been in some trash. So, and I think of him kind of in the same way.
Yeah.
You know, that guy doesn't have to fight for good work. He can just get it. So I don't know. Weird. All right. So back to you guys. Yeah, what favorite moments I want to hear about?
I like, you know, obviously Bruce Campbell, Ozzie Davis, the whole thing with Sebastian Neff I mentioned earlier. The thing that was the biggest surprise to me in this movie is, you know, you're kind of watching this low budgetness go, you know, for 99% of the movie. And at the very end, there are these hieroglyphic subtitles.
Yeah.
That, oh, yeah.
come out of
when the mummy starts fighting and
come out
trash
Sesame Street style out of his mouth.
Yes. Yeah. Right, exactly. Describing, you know, in pictograms what he wants to do to Elvis, or what he's going to do to Elvis. And that completely took me by surprise. It was like, all right, so the explosion, the exploding trailer and this are what constituted a majority of that $500,000 budget.
Totally.
You know, you can make a really big explosion with this gas.
And they do claim in the trivia on IMDb that explosion happened in one take. They only had to do it the one time, which is probably good.
All they could afford. Yeah,
but those letters, exactly. I thought those letters or those hieroglyphics were coming out of him as like bone matter or something.
Yeah, they were. It was kind of strange. When it first came out on the TV, I was like, "What the?"
kind of felt like that was dumb. I felt like that could have not. Like I said, the whole ending was a little off for me. Like, it just kind of boiled down to some very basic, you know, tropes of horror movies.
Oh, you said trope.
Take a drink. Take a drink at home. But you know what I mean? Like that happened, and I went, oh. And I was okay with the first time because the translation was actually something a pharaoh might say. But the last one was like, hey, man, suck my bleh. Something. Yeah. You know, it just got all stupid and kind of dumb. And I thought, oh, well, he's not going to say that. This creature that actually they had built up a little bit of empathy for. They'd shown those flashbacks and the kind of horrible death he'd gone through from his time and all that. And you kind of then had a sense for this guy, you know, when he was in the hallway looking at Bruce and then kind of walking away, you're like, oh, I kind of feel bad for the Pharaoh. This isn't all his fault. This isn't just him being evil. This is him dealing with the cards that were dealt him. But then later it's like hieroglyphics out of the neck. Hey, douchebags, effing this and effing. It's like, okay. Out of character. Anyway.
Out of character.
Brian Dunaway, did you have any favorite moments?
Too funny. Oh, well, we've talked about so many of them. I mean, it's just chock full of goodness. But I think I was really kind of surprised. You guys really hated the ending. But I actually just got just a little bit of cold chills whenever Bruce Campbell, Elvis' character, kind of grew just a little bit of energy that he had left and punched the mummy out there at the end and burst him into flames. You won't be sucking souls anymore or something like that. But I really like that for some reason. I don't know why.
No, I agree. Like I said, I hated the ending until that part. I like when Bruce was on screen. I this whole movie, I smiled like a little kid eating poo. Like I just, you know what I mean? Just grinning ear to ear the whole time. I caught myself doing that. I would just kind of go, ah, my wife's like, what are you doing up there? Nothing. Like, I don't even know. It wasn't even that funny, but there's just something about it. There's something about it. You eating poo again, honey?
Eating poo.
Randy, did you have some standout sort of favorite, you know, outside of those kind of things, performances and whatnot?
It's a film that requires, you know, some of the history, you know, some of the 20th century American history. It actually made me think for a young person who didn't, for whom the phrase Elvis has left the building means nothing. My favorite little bit was where JFK has not yet truly befriended Elvis and wants to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Elvis had nothing to do with his assassination attempt before he's going to trust him. And that is such an awesome poke in the eye of nonsense and conspiracy theorism, you know?
Yep.
And it struck me as really clever. And then at the same time, I thought, man, there are people out there who can't get that. That's a joke. That's not for everybody.
Yeah, it was pretty generational for sure. I thought that was pretty cool too.
And then I wouldn't finish this episode without performing my duty as the guy who points out that the best scene in the film was when the deceased roommate's daughter bends over and gets something out of the
trash. Oh yeah, absolutely.
What do you call it? Her bird's nest? Or love's nest?
Bird's nest. I don't remember that. Is that what it was?
Yeah, he called it her love nest.
Oh, yeah. love nest. That's it.
Eek!
Yeah, I learned a new word.
There were a few moments like that in this movie where you're just kind of, ooh, that sounded terrible, what you just said.
Yeah, there's a few perverted moments in this movie. And there's boobs.
Very briefly, though.
Very brief.
Very brief.
And it's totally like National Geographic, you know, women of the Serengeti kind of boobs.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I had to rewind and pause like six times before I got a really good glimpse.
Ibbets, our pro there. Oh, and I wanted to speak just briefly about, I thought the score was nice, like just kind of nice. Like it seemed to fit well and was nicely, I don't know, like there were the moments of sadness were punctuated by some good theme music. So I would ask both Randy and Ibbett, Randy being the big film buff that he is about music, how did you feel the score fared?
We're talking about a Brian Tyler work, and my understanding is that he's one of these guys who is a low budget composer, and I get it. Like that's a real job out there if you're willing to do it and you have any talent. There are scoring houses, these shops that crank out music that you can use in short films and whatever, and just sell it. And he's not way up there, highly regarded. But the music in the film was fine. It was good. It didn't sound like they had like crowdsourced it or something.
I guess because the baseline is so much lower with a film like this. You even said that earlier. Things just seemed better and more surprising and more fun and happier and different than they would have had I gone in going, oh, this was a Spielberg production of a very important story written by Anne Frank in her spare time. You know, it wasn't anything like that. Not that Anne Frank had any spare time. Don't want to insinuate that.
I didn't even take it like that. That's funny.
Yeah, I mean, for me, the film score was when I noticed it, there were quite a few times in the movie when I specifically listened for it or listened to it. Other times it was non-intrusive, but it was on those times it was pleasant. It was non-distracting, I guess is probably the best thing to say about that.
Yeah, I think
Brian Tyler is definitely on the rise. He's a young guy. He's like my age, maybe a little bit younger, actually, now that I think about it. I've only been aware of him for about 10 years. He's starting to get more and more work. You know, every year there's a couple more Brian Tyler movies that are a little bit more elevated than the last ones. He did the last Rambo movie, which had a pretty good score. He did the last Fast and the Furious movie, which had a pretty good score. And if you want to go hear this guy's music, The Expendables is his work.
Cool.
Got a new score coming out in a month.
All right. Can't wait to see that, by the way. All right, let's do some clips, and we'll start with, I'm just going to warn people right now, some of these clips, a little salty. That's all I'm saying. Just a little on the salty side. We'll start with one about a certain condition.
Truth was, I hadn't had a hard-on in years.
All right, just wanted to throw that out there early. It probably bears repeating.
Truth was, I hadn't had a hard-on in years.
Oh, yeah, baby. I will not pay that play.
There is a lot of pecker talk in this movie.
Oh, you think? Mm-hmm. You think? Because the very next clip is about that. Check it out.
How could I have gone from the king of rock and roll to this? Old guy in a rest home in East Texas with a growth on his pecker.
just to address something you guys said earlier about potty humor, I don't have any problem with potty humor. It just worked. I think it worked a little bit better in this movie than it did with Revenge of the Nerds. And I don't know why. What specifically it was? Maybe it was just that it seemed more right for the character, more right that Elvis would be using potty humor than the Nerds.
Plus, his delivery is good. And by the way, I can confirm. Brian Ibbett, last Nerdtacular this year in April, May, came to the house. There was a turd in one of the toilets. Somebody had left it there.
Oh,
and he stood,
gosh,
pointed, and laughed for an hour and a half at that thing.
Easily. Yeah, easily an hour and a half. Easily. Yeah. I actually Twittered it, put it on my Facebook.
Tina was like, can we please go? No, look at this. This is so funny. It's a poo. I'm just kidding. None of that happened. Okay. Moving on to him describing who he is.
Well, well, well. My favorite patient. How are you this morning, Mr.
Hare? I'm all right. But I prefer Mr. Presley or Elvis. I keep telling you that. I don't go by Sebastian Half anymore, okay? I don't try and hide anymore.
Well, of course, I knew that. I forgot. Good morning, Elvis.
Okay. I love that. That's what I'm talking about his performance. It's nuanced. Yeah. It's not simple. I don't know. You can feel his frustration. You can feel him like, you know, I used to be so respected, and now I'm laying here waiting for you to put that rub on me.
That rub.
And my skin looks terrible, and I'm just this big, disgusting pig. I just love that. And I will admit right now, I'd be okay if some awesome director slash producer came swooping in and said, look, Bruce, we're going to do another movie. It's going to be about Elvis again, but there's none of this Hotep crap. It's going to be just Elvis didn't really die. Instead, he went on to do this, and here's that part to play. And people everywhere will cry, we already did this in Bubba Hotep, but I don't care. I want to see that movie from beginning to end. I know Dunaway says that he doesn't know if he could go that long. But I could. I could do it. I think his performance is great.
I think it'll be just
respect.
Too depressing. I mean, now if he was like, you know, some kind of car salesman or trailer salesman or something, I could get behind that. If there was energy and activity and not constant depression.
Well, I'd still want his sense of humor to be there. So I want Randy's analogy that it's like the wrestler in the sense that it's a real story about this idea of him going on. But I also want him to be kind of a bastard and say funny things and do the self-narration and all that. That's what I want. So
I also want the budget to do good makeup on him, because as you just mentioned, his face was a train wreck.
Horrible. Yeah.
The entire film. And I kept wondering, why are they putting the focus on his face then? You know, like surely everyone on the set got within 10 feet of his face and went, "God, oh man, he doesn't look old. He just looks like that, you know, that plastic stretching mask is just visible. It's just visible.
Yeah,
like, maybe they should have put some makeup over it. I don't know, but
he wasn't that far out of his Briscoe County Junior / Union Jack days, you know. So
Bruce Campbell plays the best buddy roles. He always has.
No, he's really good at those. But all I'm saying is if they made Bubba Hotep today, he's got the natural face and sort of girth and age for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He could get away with not having it. I don't know what they did to his chin either. I mean, come on, it's Bruce Campbell. You don't mess with the chin.
I know. They got some like old like Jay Leno joke prosthetic they found in a back room.
Something. Yeah.
Stuck it on his chin. That was kind of weird. Got a swearing part. I bleeped it, but this is him getting all pissed at the nurse and the hot daughter, so check it out.
Don't carry it too far. You may just get way out there and not come back.
Oh, f*** you.
He's so good at that, man. I'm telling you, there was a genuineness to his curmudgeonness. Just played real well on screen. Loved it. We referred to how JFK is still alive. He was both dyed black, and they put a bag of sand in where that portion of his brain was that is supposedly back in D.C., plugged in. So if it ever got unplugged, he'd die. That was his theory.
Yeah.
But here's where he talks about the bag of sand.
I got a little bag of sand up there now.
Jack, no offense, but President Kennedy was a white man.
That's how clever they are. They dyed me this color all over. Can you think of a better way to hide the truth than that?
That's awesome.
I love that scene.
Just that whole concept, dude.
Yeah.
That
could be a movie on its own.
Totally. This buddy cop movie. It's basically a buddy cop movie. This buddy movie with those two guys doing stuff. This should have gone on. It should have like been five movies of them kicking A and taking names. And it's Elvis and Black JFK, dude. Love
against
that.
Zombies, anything.
Oh my gosh.
On paper, it sounds like such a great idea.
It really does. I know it doesn't work for everyone, but for me, it was both on paper good and in realization. I just want more of it.
I've been sitting here now for this entire episode trying to figure out why I don't think the movie is all that good when it has so many good pieces. It's just one of those strange things where when it was like if you took the wrestler and you added a shaky, shiny plastic bug, it just like drags the movie so far down, you know? I don't know how else to explain it.
Maybe
there's not a good answer here.
Maybe they didn't expect Bruce to do so well. Like, they didn't know he was going to actually act and nail it and come off as so sympathetic and all those things. Like, I wouldn't have thought that. If I'd have said, oh, we're hiring Bruce Campbell, all right, well, tuck in, everybody. It's going to be a fun ride. But I would never once go, oh, he's going to blow our minds and actually be a good actor. And, you know, I mean, this was good role-playing is what he was doing.
Right. Like, maybe what I'm saying is I wish that halfway through the film, someone had stopped, gone and pulled some friend producer strings and said, look, we got something pretty good here. We got to change the title. We're going to call it Long Live the King or whatever. And we need a couple million dollars to fix it up, and it's going to make the money because just some little tweaks. And I think it's interesting you should say
that, because didn't they originally have a different actor? Didn't they like have a different version of it and they refilmed part of it?
I think they were traveling with it.
I thought with some of the trivia stuff.
I don't know. I know it holds the record for the single largest independent screen thing, because the guys traveled all over the place, and Bruce went traveling with his books or something, and just slowly but surely got enough small theaters to open on that night. Like, it wasn't a regular distribution deal, so it holds some record for that. But I don't know. As far as I know, I couldn't find anything anywhere that said that they had a different actor. I think Bruce was there the whole time.
Oh, no. Bruce was always the major actor, but it seems like in the Internet Movie Database, there was something.
I know they used to have two narrators. They had an overall narrator, and then they had Bruce, and they tried to. The director was really fond of that was awesome. And I guess the director's cut thing you can get at home has that track if you want, but everyone hated it. So I read about that, but I'm not sure about the other. You keep looking that up.
Maybe I'm just crazy.
You just keep looking that up. I played this for the intro for the show, but I think it bears playing again.
Whoa. Man, that is one big bitch cockroach.
I love that.
It's a very charming movie. I mean, I thought it was a very charming movie. You guys liked it a lot more than I did, but I still, you know, I think I'd recommend this to the right kind of people. I can't think of any family members that I'd say, oh, you really need to watch that. But there are definitely some friends out there who've got the same kind of sense of humor I do that I'd probably say, yeah, you should check that out.
I'm trying to think who I'd recommend it to. And that's a good question.
Yeah, I would not recommend this to my family to watch, because, you know, there's a lot of language in it. But man, it's a guy movie. It really is.
Yeah, but like my brother-in-law, Adam, would really like it. My sister would hate it.
Yeah.
She just assumed
my wife watched this with me, and she was not impressed. I mean, she didn't watch it this time, but she watched it with me many years ago.
Mm. Yeah, I haven't watched it with Kim. I wonder what Kim would think, actually. That's a good question.
Yeah, Tina hated it.
Time for a mystery clip. This one's called What Do I Care? I guess we'll find out the hard way.
All right, you got bugs all over this place.
Bugs? Well, Mr. Happ, what kind of bugs have you been seeing?
Look, man, do I look like an ichthyologist to you? Big damn bugs, right? The size of my fist, size of a peanut butter banana sandwich, man. What do I care? I got a growth in my picker.
That'd be my most favorite little actor skit in that movie. Man.
The best little exchange between two actors was right there.
That, you're right. I've totally forgot about the word ichthyologist.
It's his delivery, though, I'm telling you. Anybody else wouldn't have worked so well. There's just something about, I mean, I don't know his history or his story, but, you know, the guy was born to play Elvis. What the crap?
Yeah.
And not just
more
Elvis.
More so than Nicolas Cage, that's for sure.
Oh, for sure. But not just Elvis, like fat, aging, 70s, drug-addicted Elvis. It's the best Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
Love it. All right. Waiting on Her Enema. I may not know what this one is either. Let me think for a second. Something about an enema? Well, anyway, here it is.
I think that there might be some sort of electrical problem over there in the gardener's shed. That light looks like it's shorting out.
This whole damn place is falling apart. But you don't have to think about that. Miss Biddlestein is waiting on her enema.
Lovely. That's a good delivery, too.
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff. I like that guy. He hardly was in it, but you hated his guts, and you kept hoping he would die in the end. But that's the other thing that was weird. At night, it seemed like everyone disappeared, but Hotep the ghost and those two guys. And
well, that one guy, he's the guy from Lost, right? He's the he was the guy who got blown up.
Who? Which?
With the dynamite. Wasn't that the same guy?
Arst?
Oh, Arst, no. The guy helping put the bodies in the van. Yes, he was the he was the science teacher in Lost that blew himself up with the dynamite. That's true. He was the one that kept making going, "You ever wonder who if they were happy or married or whatever?" Yes. Yeah, the guy would just go, "F you," or whatever he said.
Exactly.
And lastly, we have another one. This is the serious acting moment of the film, and I found this downright touching, so I wanted to capture it and play it. This is Elvis speaking for all of us about regret and misunderstanding.
Here I was complaining about loss of pride and how life had treated me, and now I realize I never had any pride. And much of how life had treated me had been good, and the bulk of the bad was my own damn fault. Should have fired Colonel Parker by the time I got on the pictures. Hope Fart had been a shark and a fool, and I was an even bigger fool for following him. If only I had treated Priscilla right. If I could have told my daughter I loved her. Always the questions, never the answers. Always the hopes, never the fulfillments.
Always the hopes, never the fulfillments. There's your t-shirt. Beautiful. Thank you very much. Love it.
Very nice.
Come on, it's good stuff.
It is good stuff. Yeah. No, it's great stuff. And you know, my favorite Elvis impersonator in the world is a guy named Trent Carlini.
You have a favorite?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. How long is that list?
Wow, all right. I can't wait to
hear anyway.
What was his name again?
Trent Carlini.
All right.
Anyway, he's an embodiment of Elvis. He's one of these impersonators that's the whole package. He's the look, the sound. He puts on a show that from beginning to end, you take someone like my mom with you, and she'll come out saying that was like being in a time machine. And for my money, I would rather see Bruce Campbell. If I was going to sit down and speak, like have a dinner with an Elvis impersonator, I'd rather have Bruce Campbell than even the best in the world. You know, because there's something about what he brings to that role that's just magic.
Yep.
I feel like that magic was squandered in this film.
Wow. All right. Fair enough. I like.
Well, see, I didn't think it. I thought the Elvis impersonators I usually see, I like, you know, there's two different versions. There's the kind that imitates the young Elvis and the obviously older and fatter Elvis. And I'm a fan of the older, fatter Elvis impersonators.
Oh, for sure.
And yeah, I think this was spot on.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I won first place in an Elvis impersonator contest at a barbecue.
What? Hold on. You got to tell us. No, like I want to hear all about this, please.
It was a celebration. It was their anniversary of when they opened their first store. There's a place out here in Denver called KT's Barbecue. And they invited people to come up and do an Elvis impersonator or impersonation. And I won strictly because I brought up one of their ribs on stage and started dancing while I was trying to eat it. I got a rhinestone studded cape and a free barbecue for a year.
Can you? Nice. Can you, Vivid? I'm asking you. I don't ask you much in this life, but I'm going to ask you now.
I do have a photo.
Will you send me? No. A. I want the photo. B. Can you do? Can you do an Elvis voice like right now for us?
Oh, thank you very much.
I love it.
I love that you have that jacket. Do you bring that jacket out for just special occasions, or do you wear it around the house, or what?
Nope, I got it. I basically got to hold on to it for a year, and it's now on display on the Alpine location in Boulder, up at KT's Barbecue, wrapped around an Elvis mannequin. But every time I go in there, I let the guy behind the counter and I said, "That's my cape right there, buddy."
That's my cape. I wore it for a year, buddy.
Did any of you guys ever manage to see Pete Valli, the guy who was Big Elvis in Las Vegas for 20 years?
No.
No, I didn't.
No, I know who you mean, though. Big Elvis? I know who you mean.
Yeah, I know you've heard of
him. I've heard of him.
Pete had a regular gig at all these different casinos, and the one I always saw him at was like Tuesday afternoons at the Barbary Coast. And dude was enormous. I mean, he was completely round. And he came in on like a scooter, on one of those, scooter round hover
like
things.
Like a Rastel?
Yeah, like one of those. And he never got off of it. And he just would sit there down in front of the stage and sing Elvis songs. And people would mill around. And it was the funniest damn thing you've ever seen. At the same time, you were appalled that you're laughing at this guy, you know, and at the same time, he had an amazing command of how to sound like Elvis. Wow. He didn't look like Elvis, you know, he just was had long sideburns and whatever, but he sounded like he was wearing, you know, the suit, the huge tent version of the suit. But anyway, Big Elvis is one of those.
I'm sorry,
things.
I'm laughing. Is Randy, are they picking up the trash at your house?
Are they?
There's big truck sounds.
I keep hearing
something
go, and they're like, beep, beep.
So the microphone actually picks that up really clearly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's weird because like, I can barely hear it.
You went, you guys ever seen Fat Elvis?
I could hear that. You have to, in Hawaii, you have to have the windows open. It's just oh, there it is. I can hear it now.
Yeah, it's a way of life. It must be garbage day in Hawaii.
I love it. It adds something to it. It's like you're on location or something.
Picking up
I'm
all
sorry,
that.
Sorry, go ahead.
You picked up all that used poi. Go ahead.
The thing that made Big, I don't think the guy's still alive, Pete Valle, maybe he is, but the thing that made Big Elvis so entertaining was the fact that he was such an exaggeration of a part of what we think of Elvis as.
Yeah.
And I feel like Bruce Campbell almost didn't ever get there. Like Bruce Campbell could have, they shouldn't have messed with his face, for starters. They should have let his face be off.
His face.
You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just don't feel like he ever really got there. Even in the one scene when he gets up on stage in a flashback and impersonates Elvis, he impersonates himself impersonating Elvis.
Yeah.
That's hard to understand.
It is.
But even in that one scene, he's not totally he's not over the top. He doesn't take it too far. And I wanted him to take it too far.
Look, I was just checking out Big Pete, and he is not dead. He's still alive. And he just got married to someone named Amanda.
Yeah,
her name
I was
is now
reading the same thing. It's weird. And it's funny. Is this what would happen to Elvis if he hadn't died? Would this been the natural progression of what Elvis would have been?
Well, he was heading that way, wasn't he?
Yeah,
I mean, he was definitely. As far as I know, this is him. See, this is the thing. This could be him.
It could be.
I'm willing to say it is him. Just briefly, I wanted to make mention that RottenTomatoes.com gave Bubba Hotep an all-time score of 79%. That's 100 reviews, incredible. 79 positive, 21% negative. So they are the fresh rating for sure for this film.
Oh, yeah.
Give it about that, too. It's about a 7 out of 10 for me. Let's move on to our our checklist. The Film Sack checklist goes as follows. Was there a title with a double meaning? Well, there's two people, so sure. I guess it kind of was, because Bubba's whatever we used to call Elvis when he was younger. Kind of a southern thing, and they were calling Bubba Hotep that because it was Hotep with like a cowboy hat, and you know, kind of
late, it totally defined everything there at the beginning of the movie. It's like
cowboy
Hotep
boots.
Yeah,
and then Bubba. So I mean,
yeah, they totally did. I love the logo. It's like Life of Brian kind of stuff. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Peeing? No. Well, yeah.
There's
twice.
Lots of peeing. Oh yeah. He went with the walker to pee because I thought that was one of the achievements. You know, he's like, okay, he's finally getting off his duff, and I'm not gonna peeing crap in the bed anymore or something. You know,
there's a scene where Ossie Davis is delivering some lines while peeing, and it starts on the shot starts on Bruce Campbell's visage, and you don't realize it, and the camera turns around and Ossie Davis is turning, talking over his shoulder, like, what's he doing? Oh, he's peeing.
He's I love that.
JFK is evacuating his bowels. Moving on to barfing. No, a booby. Yeah, briefly there was that.
Briefly, quickly.
That Egyptian lady in the dream or whatever.
Like stock footage or something from another movie or something.
It was a weird thing to do.
Yeah.
Jerk character that has facial hair.
No, there's really not any jerks other than the mummy. I mean.
Yeah, and he didn't have any facial hair. Stereotypes. Let's see. The Elvis stereotype. The what else?
Elderly patients. I mean, the rundown.
Yeah, the owner of the convalescence home who,
that's true.
Totally.
That guy fit really that for sure.
Elvis like him, fried banana sandwiches. I mean, it's all there.
Black guy dies first.
The moron morticians were a stereotype.
Yeah, they were totally a stereotype. Black guy dies first is actually black guy dies last is what we should say.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't last.
Second to last.
So white chicks die first.
Yeah,
decapitation. This is one I couldn't remember.
No, I don't think there was any decapitations because that would have cost lots of money.
Seems like there should have been.
To do a head and everything else, too expensive.
Okay, I had trouble with the Star Trek connection. Did you guys find one? I had big trouble because Bruce has never been in a Star Trek movie that I know of.
No, he hasn't.
No, it's like a film with like six actors in it, basically. And
I couldn't find a single. Whoa! That was loud. I couldn't find a single. I don't know who that is, but it's one of you and not me. Anyway, so yeah, we don't know what that is. If someone out there can point, we would love to be put in the right direction.
Please connect us with the Star Trek connection.
Kenobi type. Yeah, JFK probably.
Yeah.
When you say
he leads him through to accepting who he is and and what's happened to him.
Animal or robot as comedy relief. I'm gonna give it to his walker. That's kind of a robot.
Walker.
What about the, I'd say the scarab is.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the scarab. Scarab in the.
Rich cockroach.
It wasn't meant to be comedy relief, but it was indeed.
The use of it to capture the bug or to use the bedpan was great. I like that.
I don't know what was so perfect about that, but when he turned around scarab had his hands like his claws stuck into the bedpan, like cartoon style.
Yep.
Hiding. I mean, it was just,
it made me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy.
Like lots of times in this movie, I laughed out loud. Let's see. Kid named Billy, Bobby, Peter, or Buddy. Just Bubba. Montage. No, but I think it could have had one. Mm-hmm. You know, when they were preparing to go fight, like when he was putting on the big jumpsuit and stuff, they could have totally done a montage.
They definitely could.
And filling up the sprayer with whatever that was, alcohol, rubbing alcohol.
Yeah, and then gasoline.
And then gasoline.
I guess he wanted to be a little richer in ethanol. I don't know.
That was weird. And then let's see, cave that looks like a vagina. No, there's no caves.
They can't afford that.
Yeah, there weren't any caves.
Yeah, just a love nest.
It was a vagina.
Just a love nest. I would have been uncomfortable with that if my kids had been watching me with that. No.
Yeah. Well, that is the time of the show where we ask you guys, you three, to sum up what you thought of the movie in Twitter post, 140 characters or less. Let's start this time with Brian Ibbett.
Remember, kids, you can't spell Campbell. You can't spell Campbell without camp. I really messed that up. Gotta
retype that one. Wait. Let him do it again.
Okay, ready? Edit.
Remember, kids. All right, one more time. Remember, kids, you can't spell Campbell without camp.
Perfect. Well said, sir.
All three times.
Randy Jordan.
Bubba Hotep. A whole fine premise with a whole perfect cast and no whole chance whatsoever. Why? Walk if I know.
And lastly, Mr. Dunaway, sum it up.
Bubba Hotep, Bruce Campbell's finest work, if you're into that sort of thing. Pharaoh gobbles donkey goobers.
Wait, I've heard this before. I've heard this somewhere. I can't remember where. All right.
That was at the beginning. That was when they were translating. I translated the, Ozzy had translated the scribblings on the stall.
Wall.
Yeah. And he's like, I did it with the first one with a book. And it's like, he starts out with Pharaoh and he goes really slow. So I'm like, oh, he's going to say something good. And he says, Pharaoh gobbles donkey goobers. And I'm like, wait a minute.
That's pretty classic. All right. Well, this is what you missed while you soaked your Egyptian demon with gasoline, not once, but twice.
Twist.
Don't be in the iron lung machine with your glasses on.
Right.
Number two, that ain't no cockroach.
No, sir.
Number three, I miss Ozzie Davis.
I do indeed.
Number four, I may never look at a container of goo the same again. I'm referring to the penis rub stuff.
Yeah, that was
gross.
Oh man, the sound effects they used.
Yeah, that was lovely.
Disgusting.
And when he got
glad they didn't show it too.
Yeah. According to the trivia, he wouldn't do the job. He wouldn't play the character if they were going to show his wiener. Not even his real wiener, but some fake wiener. He didn't want to do it.
Really?
Yeah, says that. I don't know if it's true. Hmm. It is the internet after all. And finally, it is possible to make a heartfelt end to to Elvis's life without trying to.
Mm.
I feel like this movie did that.
There you go. It almost slipped into Tearjerker at the very end.
I would agree. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. And then he died. What a great ending.
Elvis has left the building.
Elvis has left the planet.
Yeah. He left this mortal coil. So I really enjoyed it. I think Scott Fletcher might have as well, because he sent in these quotes.
Don't make me use my stuff on you, baby. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Ah, yes. Mr. Fletcher.
I did love that karate stuff he was doing from time to time. I was worried at first. I was thinking this karate kind of overdone Elvis thing. It's just going to be stupid. But with him having the walker,
yeah,
I mean, it really worked.
Yeah, he nailed it. So good job to him. We like this movie. I think overall there are things to like about it. I think some of us liked it more than others, obviously. But I think it's a recommend. I think people should watch it. It's a good time. And as always, there is a new movie coming up next week, and it is Young Einstein. I always want to say Young Frankenstein, but it's Young Einstein.
It's a whole different thing.
Completely that stars Yahoo Serious, doesn't it?
It stars Yahoo Serious, and
Serious?
That may be a problem for me, because my recollection is I hated that guy growing up. So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
He was kind of on the tail end of the Australian love.
Yeah. Yeah. Or something to that effect. I'd forgotten he was Australian. But more about that next week. So watch for Young Frankenstein, gosh dang. Young Einstein next week. Don't forget to come to the site. The site is filmsack.com. The Twitter to follow is filmsack. And as always, leave us some reviews on iTunes. Hang out there. Send us your feedback and your comments to filmsack@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. Thanks once again for being here for yet another Filmsack. We'll see you next week for 38. Until then, everyone, please take care.
Donkey goopers.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.